All right, so let's say that we've got boys and girls. And let's say that the boys have an average of 10 and the girls have an average of 20. Now, if we do an ANOVA, that ANOVA is going to point at that 10-point mean difference. Right? Because that's all we got is that binary thing. We know there's more going on that's different between boys and girls than that X and Y chromosome, don't we? But we don't have access to any of that in the data set. All we've got here is boys and girls. Now, if we stuff this into, if we stuff this into a regression where let's say that we code the boys 0 and we code the girls 1, we're going to get a regression model. Which is going to be performance predicted from gender. And that regression weight is going to be 10. The mean difference. Because that is how much does the score change for a one unit change in the predictor. There's only one unit change in the predictor because it's binary. And the regression weight is going to be, or the regression constant is going to be 10. The expected value of x equals 0. So we coded the boys as 0, so we'll get a 10 for this. The girls have a score 10 points bigger, so the 1-point change, what goes with the 1-point change in gender is a 10. Ta-da! Now let's say that we have other variables. Let's say that we have motivation and test comfort. Let's just do one. Let's do two. Test comfort. So we got motivation and test comfort. If we build a multiple regression, still trying to predict performance, and we've got gender, and we've got motivation, and we've got test comfort, we know that those variables are correlated with each other. We know that gender and motivation and test comfort are correlated. Look anywhere in that literature, those three pile up on each other. Okay? The females tend to be more motivated and less test comfort. Okay? So you've got all this stuff pushing things around. Hey. And the bottom line is, we don't expect that to be 10 anymore. We expect that when you take into account other things that are related to our primary variable, that the difference between the gender on performance after controlling gender for those other things probably won't be 10. And if it turns out to be 12, because the motivation wasn't hurting as much as the test comfort was hurting, we don't pee ourselves at all. We just say, one of those is a binary question, the other one's a multivary question. Unless what we did instead was take the boys and the girls and separate them into those that were more motivated. Am I running out of pen? Just the wrong time. And those that are less motivated. And the third variable, instead of being test conflict, is now the interaction between gender and motivation. And when we do this, we find out that because there is a gender difference in motivation, that we have like 30 here and 80 there and 70 here and 20 there. So, with unequal n, these things are now correlated. Here's the secret. They were correlated before. When we left them as quantitative variables, they were correlated. All we did now is turn them into a binary variable. They're still correlated, only now that correlation is expressed in a factorial design as unequal n, not as the collinearity between the two variables. And if they're related to each other, they're both related to the interaction. And so, even though we have not changed the people in the study, so we've not changed that the boys average 10 and the girls average 20 in performance, when we build a model that takes into account gender and motivation, which is correlated with it, and the interaction that's correlated with both, we should not expect that this is still going to be 10. Right? Are you okay with that? Because that is the hinge piece in this whole thing. Just because we write a 10 down there and we write a 20 down there, and our brains, because we add and subtract reflexively, go, oh, there's a difference of 10. That difference of 10 reflects the gender effect unencumbered by any other elements of reality. Whereas what we're going to get out of this regression weight, which is now called an expected marginal mean difference, isn't going to be 10. We know it's not going to be 10. It doesn't bother us that it's going to be 10. Not going to be 10. Make sense? Now, here's where things get squirrely. Maybe the reason we have 30, 80, 70, 20 is because those are the proportional representations, the differential proportional representation of how motivated and not motivated boys are versus how motivated and not motivated girls are. Then that collinearity is naturally occurring and it's cool. Maybe the reason we got 30, 80, 70, 20 is that's the first 200 people we could get into the study and how they happened to break out. Or maybe where we were wasn't a representative purposive sample and it tended to have more of these or less of those. The problem is that in regression, the collinearity is almost always natural. We measure two quantitative variables, they're as correlated as they are, so be it. Whereas in factorial designs, sometimes the collinearity looks like it's representative, and other times it looks like it's happen chance, convenience, who we happen to grab. Okay? The bottom line is, if we're asking about the multivariate, the type 3 sums of squares effect for each of these, controlling each for the collinearity with all of the others, or the confounding with all of the others, or the overlap with all of the others, or the non-orthogonality with all of the others, because it's all the same thing. That is still our best guess of how this has a unique contribution. How are we doing? Okay, does that help any? I mean, going from 10 to 12 doesn't freak us out at all when it's a regression weight that reflects a marginal mean difference. But for some reason, starting with those means and then getting other means that aren't the same means seems weird. It's the same thing. You'll really see that it's the same thing when we go back in the first part of Unit 3 and redo the ANOVAs as regressions. We're actually going to do that. We're going to reduce the ANOVA homework as regression. We'll do it on two groups. We'll do it on K groups. We'll do it on the factorial. And you will see that I haven't lied to you a bit. All right? So the type 3 sums of squares has the advantage in ANOVA that we desperately wanted in regression that allows us to say what's the relationship between this variable and the criterion controlling for whatever else is in the model. For some reason, it just looks more artificial in the ANOVA than it does in the regression. Same math. Yes?
So, is all you're saying that when you add variables into the factorial design and you're controlling for more confounds, which is why the mean is going to change?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. The only difference is that we get a mean for each, and then we get a mean difference instead of just getting the effect from the correlation of the ANOVA. There's just something about having those two means there that change that bothers us more than the effect size changing. Can't tell you. And I'll tell you why. It's because we were all brought up on orthogonal designs where you write down the mean for the margin and you write down the other mean and the other margin and they stay the same. And that's what we compare and that's what we interpret and that's what we talk about. And we get this idea that means are somehow inviolate. And they're not. They're just an estimate. And they're a bivariate estimate. And if you want a multivariate estimate, it's not going to be the same. So yeah, that's all it is. And that's the cool thing. It's the same shit everywhere you look.